so everywhere. Let him come. Whosoever will, let him come.
Hi there, this is Andy. Thanks for joining us today. Listen, before the Bible study starts, can I just remind you to sign up for our weekly recap email at calvaryottawa.ca? It really is the single best way to know what's going on here and to stay up to date with us. All right, well, it's time to open up your Bible and get your heart ready to receive. May the Lord bless you in your study of His Word.
So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning. Today's December 1st, and we're starting to think about Christmas. Many people in our culture are starting to think about Christmas. Trees are going up. Lights are starting to be turned on. Presents are getting purchased. Christmas is 24 days away. What is the message of Christmas? Because none of us can deny that something happens within the culture during this season. And it's a combination of wonder, generosity, materialism, sentimentality. To some, there's a great sense of sadness and loneliness during Christmas. To many, there's a focus on being with loved ones. The true message of Christmas, however, is found in the text before us this morning, Luke chapter 2. And what I'd like to do now is to read this passage, and then we'll pray, and we'll talk about the message of the shepherds. So Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, and the context here is Jesus has just been born. If you were to read the first 7 verses, you'll see the story of which most of us are probably very familiar. But now in verse 8, we have this. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Would you pray with me? Lord, this story is full of wonder. This true account of what happened around 2,000 years ago. This account, Lord, is almost unbelievable when we think about it. And I pray that today that this would not just be a time of reading this and then going on about our day, Lord, but I pray that we, each one of us, would perhaps in a new way reconsider what has come to be known as the Christmas story. Lord, that we would think deeply about what happened the night that you were born, that you chose to come into the world because you loved us. Lord, would you open our eyes right now? Would you open our hearts? Would you give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say to each one of us? Lord, we are not here other than to learn of you, to sit at your feet, to be changed and transformed. We want to draw close to you in this moment, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is such a great account. It starts off as a normal night for these shepherds. We don't know how many there were, but they're caring for their flocks, just a typical night. But then all of a sudden, what was a normal night became a night that would change them forever. And their lives were interrupted this night by an angel, a messenger from God. A couple years ago, my family and I were at a Christmas event back in the town that we lived in near Toronto. And it was one of these walk through the Christmas story events where people are dressed like Roman soldiers and whatnot. And so when it came to the setting of the shepherds, we were led into this kind of a large shed, outdoor kind of temporary building type of thing, like a container situation. And a few of us came in, and there's these people dressed like shepherds, and they're talking about their flocks. And then all of a sudden, this, what I thought was a wall, it went up really fast, and then behind the wall were these angels, and the light came, not real angels, but people dressed like angels, and the light came on, and they started with this story. And as my attention is focused on the shepherds, and then bam, all of a sudden the angels are there, and I was startled. It gave me a sense of what it must have been like for these shepherds out in the field, because they've been out in the field probably 7 nights a week, just caring for their flocks. And they had no idea that this night was going to be different. And what made it different is that not just the appearance of an angel, and that's enough to shake you, but the angel had a message for them. And the message, just in a nutshell, and we're going to look at it a little deeper here, but here's the message. A Savior has been born. Now, we hear that all the time around this time of year, but please try to listen with fresh ears, as if it's the first time you're hearing this. A Savior has been born. Jesus has come. Now, it's interesting. It's, I think, very insightful that upon the birth of Jesus, the Father dispatches an angel not to Herod's palace, not to the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, not to the government authorities, not to Caesar in Rome, but an angel appears to a group of shepherds out in the field. Now think about that, because it seems like the Savior would be announced to the religious leaders, right? That makes more sense to me, that it would be announced to the government authorities so that they can let everybody know. But no, God chooses to announce the birth of Jesus, the Savior has been born, to a group of shepherds out in the field. To me, that's outstanding. In fact, that's where we find them, outstanding in a field. Sorry. The shepherds are among the first to hear the greatest news that the world has ever known. Now, notice in verse 10, look with me at verse 10, that this is a message not just for the shepherds, it's a message for all people. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings," or good news of great joy, "which will be to all people." So this message, a Savior has been born, it's a message for all people. This is a huge message, folks. This is an important, life-changing message. You would think that God would commission an advertising firm. You'd think that he would come up with some type of marketing plan. Now, I get the angel part. I mean, that's a fantastic decision, I think, having an angel appear in the sky. That's great. But to shepherds out in the field doesn't really make sense. I think it would have been better to have an angel appear in the sky in the middle of the day in the market, maybe where everybody's around doing their everyday commerce, and you have an angel appear, and then that way you're getting it to everybody. I mean, pick the location where there's the most people. Get the biggest bang for your buck, so to speak. Start at the top and then let the message filter down. How about an angel appearing to Herod and then to all of the rulers and the provincial officers? How about billboards? How about a press release to the Jerusalem Post? But that was not God's way. He started at the bottom and let the message filter up. The message came to the shepherds. Now, this takes on much more significance when you realize that the shepherds are the outcast and the lowly. And isn't it true that our God often picks the outcast and the lowly? You see, if you haven't heard, the shepherds in this day were not trusted. By the religious people, they were categorized as unclean. They weren't members and could not be members. But legally, their testimony was not even valid in a court of law. Now think about that. What kind of court would not accept the testimony of an entire group of people based on their occupation? Shepherds, as one Bible commentator says, were a wild lot. You wouldn't trust them. They were pickpockets, they were swindlers, they were liars, they were thieves, they were shepherds. No parent would want their little boy or girl to grow up to be a shepherd. But yet God's heart is for the lowly. And the first people that God chose to tell of the birth of his son were shepherds, the outcasts, the unclean ones. That's who he came for. God's heart is for the outcasts and the foolish. If you're taking notes, and I highly encourage you to, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, we get a sense more of God's heart for people. Allow me to read that to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and use them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. God chose the shepherds because his message was for them. This is great. Have you ever felt unqualified? Guess what? Have you ever felt like you're not good enough for God? Well, you are qualified, and you don't even need any kind of a resume. He'll take you. You just need to have faith in him. It's simply the best deal around. This verse says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Jesus came for everyone, for thieves, for governors, for the hardworking and the lazy, for women and men, for the disadvantaged and the healthy. He came for politicians. He came for homeless people. He came for greedy people, for liars, for thieves, for upright people, for addicts. He came for smart people. He came for evil people, for those who are organized and efficient. And he came for people that can barely scrape by. He came for talented people, and he came for those who waste their talents. He came for everybody. He came for you. He came for the shepherds. This message is for all people. But notice the content of the message. In verse 11, it's a message of salvation. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a governor, a politician, a scribe, a Pharisee, a shepherd. No, a savior who is Christ the Lord. And this is something that the Jewish people had been waiting hundreds and hundreds of years for. It had been prophesied many times in the Old Testament. And the angel says that today's the day. Today, this Savior has been born to you. So it's a message for all people, but it's a message of salvation. It's a message of salvation for all people because all people are in need of salvation. Salvation from what, though? Well, we all need to be saved from sin. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. On the day that Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist looked, he saw Jesus coming towards him, and here's what John the Baptist said. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He takes away the sin of the world, so he saves you and I from sin. What sin have you committed? Please don't say it out loud, but what sin have you committed? You see, in Old Testament times, a lamb would be taken, a lamb would be sacrificed, a perfect, unblemished lamb would be sacrificed to take away people's sin. And so here now, John calls Jesus this Lamb of God. God was bringing a perfect lamb into the world that would be sacrificed for all people, for all sin. And this was the purpose of the Savior. This was the purpose of the babe born in Bethlehem to take away the sin of the world. I don't think it would take a lot of convincing for us to acknowledge that we are all guilty. You are guilty. I am guilty. We are born apart from God. We're born as sinners. We're born as rebels. We are rebellious. One famous preacher, a man named C.H. Spurgeon, said this: sin is not a splash of mud on a man's exterior. It is filth generated within himself. Let me say that again. Sin is not a splash of mud on a man's exterior. It is filth generated within himself. That word generated just means it keeps coming and coming and coming. You can't escape sin. You need Jesus to save you from it. There's no way that we can become good enough to get to God. The standard is perfection. You know, if you think about swimming or you think about maybe a long distance race, I'm not a very good swimmer. I certainly know how to swim, but maybe some of you could swim a kilometer. Maybe some of you could swim 10K. Maybe if you're like me, you could swim 100 meters or so. But listen, if the goal is to swim 20,000 kilometers, I mean, think about 20,000. I mean, that's a long day. If that's the goal, nobody can do that. We all fall miserably short. None of us can meet the standard. And so it is trying to get to heaven on your own efforts, your own works, your own behavior. Some of us may be better than others, but none of us meets the standard. And this is the message of Christmas. God sends a Savior. He gives this gift of salvation, and we open the gift by opening our hearts. We trust in Him, and He forgives us. I'm glad that I am saved. I'm glad that I have been rescued. A Savior is one who makes us whole, one who heals us. A Savior keeps us safe and sound. He rescues us from danger or destruction. Do you need to be made whole? Do you need to be safe? Do you need to be rescued? You have a Savior. Now, notice at the end of verse 11, the angel tells the shepherds, this Savior is Christ the Lord. Many people, maybe in our early days of coming to know the Lord, or you hear the word Jesus Christ, you think that Jesus is his first name and Christ is his last name. But that's not true. That his title is Christ. So it's like Jesus the Christ. Christ is his title. And this word Christ means Christos. It means the anointed one. And it really points to this long-awaited Messiah, this Savior sent by God. So we have Christos, the anointed one, Christ. But then we have the Lord. Lord is a different word. It's Kyrios. It means master. It's like one you would submit yourself to. So he's not just our Savior, but he's our Lord. And this is what discipleship is all about. This is where spiritual growth and submitting your life to the Lordship and obedience of Jesus Christ. This is the one we bow to. Listen, he owns you. He owns us. Galatians 2:20, I love this verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And so don't be guilty during Christmas time, as my friend Scott Clonch says, don't be guilty of manger danger. Manger danger is taking Jesus out once a year, setting him up, worshiping him, and then putting him back in the attic or the basement after Christmas, leaving him in the manger. That's manger danger. You see, Jesus was only a baby while he was a baby. Jesus grew up and he became a man. And he's a Lord. He's our Lord. He is Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that you are not your own? You were bought at a price. So you are not your own. He is Christ our Lord. So this is the one who came to Bethlehem that night, this anointed one, the master of all, the one to whom we belong. So your Savior, your Lord, was born. Now we know the date is not necessarily December 25th. That's just a date that the church has picked on the calendar. It could be December 25th, but we don't know. But this is a message of joy. Salvation goes hand in hand with joy. Did you see that in verse 10? It's good tidings of great joy. Great. It's not like, oh, what a bummer. Jesus owns me. What a drag. No, this is news of joy. The only true joy is salvation joy. You will never know deep abiding joy until you know Jesus. So it's a message of salvation. It's a message for all people. But it's also a message that comes with a sign. It comes with a mission, if you will. Look at verse 12. It says, this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And so after announcing this message that the Savior, Jesus, the Savior has been born, he says, now there's going to be a sign. You're going to find this babe wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. So the angel gives the shepherds a mission. Go find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a feeding trough, a manger. Now, if the angel had just simply said, go find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, it would have been hard to find the right one. No doubt there were many babies in Bethlehem wrapped in swaddling cloths, but to find a baby in a manger where the animals are, there was only one. Look for the baby where the animals are. So the shepherds, I could imagine, like, okay, well, we can handle that. We know a lot about animals. We know where the animals are. So we'll just go through Bethlehem looking in all the mangers until we find a baby. And then they'll know that that's the one, and that's exactly what they did. So the message was the Savior has been born. But the mission is go look for him. Go look for Jesus. Now, up to verse 12, it seems that there may have only been one angel. But now in verse 13, it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I would love to be able to see what this really looked like. I mean, just imagine with me in your mind's eye. And my family and I, we like to go to different Christmas events. And so we've been to several of these things where it's just like a walk through Bethlehem type of thing. And they always do the shepherd thing. And I applaud them, and it's wonderful. I appreciate their ministry and their effort, but I know that none of them can ever come close to filling the sky with angels. I mean, how many were there? 1,000? Hundreds and hundreds of thousands? A million angels? We don't really know. But then there's this grand declaration, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. Now, what did that really sound like? What did that sound like to hear thousands and thousands of angels saying this or singing it or saying it? Unbelievable. These heavenly beings no doubt have been waiting eons to proclaim this anthem that glory to God in the highest. Christ has come. The Savior is here. Look at what God did. God became a baby. Christ the Lord, the anointed Messiah. Heaven puts on a show, a magnificent, unbelievable, glorious announcement to a handful of people who are considered unclean. There were more people performing the show than were watching it. I love the way God works. And then, now after the angels appeared to them, now think about this. So then at some point, they disappeared. They went back to heaven. And so now all of a sudden, just imagine. So now you have these shepherds standing around. They just saw this incredible angelic anthemic display. Did you see that? Or was I just, let's just go back. Undeniable. They saw it. It's not like they just looked at each other and said, nah, that somebody's just pulling our, let's just go back to shepherding. No, this would have been absolutely undeniable. They now had to do, they had this mission. They had to go find this baby. Listen to me. This tells us that this event was important. You're like, duh. We don't need you to tell us that, Pastor Pat. Listen, this baby being born, this Savior, this is an important message. Now, that may sound really obvious, but think this through. When a heavenly host of angels appears in the sky, something big is obviously happening. The birth of Jesus. One Bible commentator says this. He, speaking of Jesus, he took the form of a servant while he retained the form of God. It is exactly that which makes our salvation possible. Have you ever thought that this little baby was God? This baby? Many of you have babies. We've all seen babies. And they're so fragile. Can you imagine knowing that your baby is God incarnate? Talk about being careful with that baby. And so the shepherds, they see all of these angels and they believe it. You see, true faith moves you to action. C.H. Spurgeon again, believing and obeying always run side by side. You see, if you truly believe something, it's going to change you. Believing the message of Jesus and following his mission are two sides of the same coin. The shepherds saw, they had to go. They had to go on this mission to find Jesus. The shepherds had seen the glory of God. They had seen heaven opened. They searched for the Christ child. And listen, if you search for Jesus, you will find him. And they found him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And what I love about this story is that after they found the Christ child, well, read it with me, verse 17. When they had seen him, they made widely known. They were the first evangelists. They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Fascinating that God chose people who the world didn't believe. Because the people looked on them and said, if a shepherd tells you something, don't believe him, because they're just going to steal your money. They're liars. And God said, hey, you go tell everybody. You bunch of liars, go spread the message about Jesus. Does that make sense to you? They told everyone, though. A group of social outcasts end up taking this message of Jesus. The bottom of the ladder in society saw the God baby, the first ones. And they weren't expecting it when they started their day. Right? They didn't wake up in the morning thinking, hey, today's the day we're going to see this host of heavenly angels. Because here's why. If God revealed it to them, like, hey, tomorrow you're going to see these angels, they knew if that would happen, you know what they would have done, I think? They would have sold tickets. They would have gone and they would have tried to make a buck off of it, probably. They would have tried to figure out a way to make some money. But listen, Jesus comes, he changes their lives. And now they had a mission. And it's a mission of communication. They went from being shepherds to being shepherds with a message. They didn't stop being shepherds. They didn't become professional ministers. And it's just like you and I. You don't, maybe instead of being a teacher now, you're a teacher with a message. Instead of working on the hill, you work on the hill with a message. Instead of being an engineer, you're an engineer with a message. They told everybody that they found about Jesus. And certainly some believed and others didn't. But I love how God works. Wherever God sends people, he sends his message. We all have that message. Well, you say, well, okay, so they had this message, but what did they say? Well, look at verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. So what was this saying? Well, if you look back in previous verses, this saying that was told them, a Savior has been born. They communicated this world's greatest story. Jesus came, he's here, this simple message. And the result of their message, verse 18 says that people believed him. There was something about this message that the shepherds could not be denied. The courts didn't accept their testimony, but that did not stop the Lord. People listened to the shepherds because they could tell that something had happened in their hearts. And this was a situation like, I've got to have whatever you have type of situation. People, they heard the message and they looked at these shepherds and they said, wait a minute, something's changed. Something's changed. I can tell something's changed. Years ago, I read a biography of a man named Bruce Olson. The name of the book is Bruchko. And Bruce was he was raised in a legalistic denominational church, and his parents were cold and indifferent to the gospel. So Bruce, as a young man, set out on a quest for genuine Christianity. He eventually gets saved. He starts going to a new church. And after a time, he felt the call to go out on the mission field. 19 years old, he feels his call to go out on the mission field. So he dropped out of college. And he went into the, which I don't recommend. My daughter's listening, so I don't recommend dropping out of college. But Bruce dropped out of college. And he went into the jungles in South America without any support, without any partnership from any church, without any sponsorship from any missions agency. Just a young kid who loved Jesus, heard the message, and he knew he was called to spread it. He heard about this violent tribe of Indians called the Motilone people, and I may not be pronouncing that properly. And nobody knew anything about their culture, knew anything about their language, and he ministered to these Motilone Indians in South America. They were an unreached people group. Today, 70% of them are born-again Christians because of Bruchko. Now, you don't have to do what Bruce Olson did if God calls you to, which he may, but you can take this message, this simple message of a Savior being born, you can take it to your office, to your neighborhood, to your family, to your friends, just wherever you go. You receive the message, you spread the message, but then notice lastly in verse 20, these shepherds were changed. It says in verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. You see, it says that they returned. The shepherds returned. They went and they told everybody, but then they just went back to doing what they have done for years. They went back to tending their flocks. But they would never be the same. Verse 19 says that they were glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. So I think the day after this angelic appearance out in the fields with these shepherds looked a lot different than the day before. Their language probably started getting cleaned up a little bit. Their habits probably started getting cleaned up a little bit. Love started growing in their lives. I believe they became true believers. They worshiped God. Not because they went on some kind of program. It's because they had a relationship now, a relationship with the God who made them. Now, when you walked in and grabbed your seat this morning, each one of you probably sat on or found one of these. This is the Gospel of John. It's in entirety. And this is the message of Jesus. So I just want to end my sermon this morning with a challenge to you. I don't think any of you are shepherds, but I know some of you work in offices. Some of you maybe work, maybe you drive a vehicle, maybe you deliver things or fix things, whatever it might be. Maybe you do consulting. I don't know what all of you do for a living. But I want you to remember that you have been entrusted with a message. And so here's my challenge to you. Prayerfully, sometime this week, I want you to give this to somebody. Now, don't give it to somebody that comes to Calvary. Don't give it to your spouse or your child. If you want to do that, we'll have more for you. But I want you to give this to somebody who, as far as you know, they don't know Jesus. Maybe a friend, maybe an acquaintance, maybe a stranger. Pray, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, who would you have me give this Gospel of John to? This is the message. And all you have to do, if you've never done this before, you just do something like this. Hey, I've got a free book for you. And that's it. And now you trust the Holy Spirit. You can give that back because you come to Calvary. I can't give that to you. But you've been entrusted with a message. And once you give this, you just allow the Holy Spirit, because this is the Word of God, folks. This is better than an angelic appearance. Do you know that? This is the Word of God. And so you give this to somebody, and you know what? They may toss it. They may say, I don't want that, you idiot. What are you doing giving me something? I doubt if they would say that, but you never know. But somebody may take this, they may read it, and there are situations where people may have been praying, God, if you're real, show me. And the next thing they know, some stranger gives them a little book. I don't know. But you know what? We're going to trust the Holy Spirit. And we're just going to try to get the message out. I have found at Christmas time, people are a bit more open to spiritual things. They may respond more to an invitation to receive a gift, an invitation to come to church, an invitation. Hey, do you have anywhere to go on Christmas Eve? Well, no. Well, why don't you come with me? We're going to just kind of read the Christmas story, sing some songs at my church. Whatever it might be, but I want you to have your spiritual antenna, if you will, just your spiritual sensitivities up over the rest of December and say, Lord, just use me however you will. Does that sound good? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the great message of Christmas. Lord, we know that that this time of year is filled with all kinds of commercialism and just kind of, there's a bit of junk in this time of year. Lord, but we know at the core, Lord, we know that people are hurting and they're hungry for meaning. They can look around and see right through a lot of the commercialism. Lord, they're looking for something more. And Lord, I pray that you would use us just to touch someone this week. Just to encourage someone. Lord, we love you. And please help us. Lord, we can't do these things on our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come to the Father. Come through the Son. Come by His Spirit. Find freedom. Let Him come.
Hey there, thanks for listening. Listen, if this was an encouragement or a blessing to you, would you let me know? Would you send me an email, andy@calvaryottawa.ca? I'd really love to hear from you. That's andy@calvaryottawa.ca. Well, may the Lord Jesus bless you, keep you, make His face shine upon you, and give you peace. We'll see you soon.
Come through the sun, come back.